you turn on your television set or your radio at any given time, you'll probably hear guarantees, won't you? The commercial for the Men's Warehouse says, "You're going to love the way you look. I guarantee it." The Rogaine commercial says, "You're going to regain hair. We guarantee it." Nutrisystem says, "You're going to lose weight. And we guarantee it." There's all sorts of programs that say, "You will make money in the first month, and we guarantee it." There are guarantees out there anywhere you look. People will throw this word around loosely. "I guarantee this, I guarantee that." But you know what? The old saying goes, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. So whenever I hear these words, whenever I hear something is guaranteed, I usually say, I'll believe it when I see it. Well, today I want to talk some about some guarantees that God makes for God's people. I want to talk about how God guarantees for us that He will never leave us nor forsake us. How God has guaranteed us eternal life. And how God has guaranteed us life before death. So I'd like to take a few minutes to start digging into this verse the chapter that Dwight read for us from John chapter 18 to see just what we can learn from this passage of Scripture about these guarantees that God makes for us. So if we look at this passage of Scripture, we have four main characters. And I want to really start by looking at this character named Mary Magdalene. Now, Mary Magdalene is somebody who has been a dedicated follower of Jesus Christ ever since Jesus first delivered her from this demon possession. So ever since Jesus healed her of this problem, she has been a dedicated follower, following Him around from town to town, from place to place, listening to Him preach, listening to Him teach. She has seen Him perform miracles. She has heard Him tell stories. And as she hears all these things, she knows that surely this is the Messiah. This is the one that I have been waiting for all of my life. This is the one that all of Israel has been waiting for. The Messiah has arrived. Jesus quickly gained momentum amongst his followers. And in his 3 years of public ministry, he gained this exaltation amongst the people. And during the day that we call Palm Sunday, he is escorted into the city while people yell, "Hosanna to the Son of David." But then just as quickly as his fame rises, it takes a quick plummet. The Friday that we know as Good Friday, Mary Magdalene witnessed this guy that she had high expectations for, this man that she knew as the Messiah, being nailed to a cross. She witnessed him writhing in pain, as our song said. She witnessed his blood being poured out. She witnessed him being tortured and beaten and tormented and humiliated. A quick up and down in the life of this Jesus Christ guy. He was on a high and then brought low. And Mary Magdalene witnessed all of these things. Now this brings us up to where our scripture begins for this morning. This brings us up to the Sunday morning following Good Friday. Now Mary Magdalene is coming to Jesus' tomb on Sunday morning to anoint the body. She wants to put oils and herbs on the body, so it kind of, to kind of prepare the body so it can decompose. Because this guy Jesus is dead. She didn't come the day before because the day before would have been the Sabbath day. It would have been against the law to come and do these things on the Sabbath to anoint the body. So she shows up early on that first Easter morning. And she approaches the tomb, she sees that this large stone has been rolled away from the entrance. And she peers inside and she sees that Jesus is not there. So Mary Magdalene runs to the disciples of Jesus. She runs to the closest followers of His. These 10 people that are left, 11 people that are left, that have followed Him for the last 3 years. And she goes to them and she says, "They have taken the body of the Lord and we don't know where they have put it." Well, Peter and John stand up and they run to the grave. And we have no idea how far it is for them to run, but they run. And I guess John is younger than Peter because John arrives before Peter does. And when John gets there, he starts looking at this rock and he looks inside and he sees that the grave clothes are just lying there. That the body is gone. And when Jesus arrives, he just bolts right into the front door, and he goes and he starts picking up these cloths that were wrapped around Jesus' body, and they look at each other, and they say, "Oh my goodness, the body has been stolen." They hear the words that Mary has said, someone has taken our Lord, and they believe what she said to be true. Now this would be a really, really bad story if it ended there, wouldn't it? But that's not all the story. That's not where it ends. There's more to it. And I'll get to that in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you about my week. It was a beautiful week. A strange week weather-wise. We saw snow early on, and we saw beautiful weather the last few days. And I took advantage of this beautiful weather to go outside and do some yard work. I see some lovely flowers here. I'm not sure if those come from someone's yard or not. But things are blooming. It's a good time to be outside working. So I took advantage of the nice weather. I mowed my yard and I sowed some new grass seed over some bare spots. I planted some seeds in our garden. And I even had an opportunity to dig up some old shrubs in our front yard. We had these evergreen shrubs, two on each side of our stairway. And we decided they were a little ugly and we wanted to get rid of them. So I got out the shovel that I had received as a present from my dad for Christmas one year. And I decided I was going to dig them up by myself. I didn't realize how good of a root system evergreen shrubs have. They have what you call a tap root, and they go quite deep. Now the first three, the smallest of the three evergreen shrubs, came out pretty easily. But I got to the biggest one, and I had a lot of trouble. I had found with the other ones that if I stick my foot down on the shovel and kind of use the ground as a fulcrum, I could push out some of those smaller plants. But I got to this bigger one, I really started pushing and prying, and I decided, hey, I'm going to step on it to see if I can't get this plant out of the ground. And when that didn't work, I decided I would jump a little bit on top of the handle of the shovel. And I heard a crack, and I found myself sitting on the ground. The shovel handle had broken. Now that would be a terrible story if it just ended there, wouldn't it? Ending with brokenness, confusion, and wondering why all this happened, why we had all this brokenness, what was wrong with the world, what's wrong with my shovel, what's wrong with my head to think that I could jump on a shovel and I was expected to support me. But just like the story of Jesus and his disciples, that story doesn't end there. There's more to it. As I started looking at my shovel handle, I looked at the sticker here on the handle. Lifetime. As I first saw that, I giggled a little bit. It's got a pretty short lifetime. I just got this thing at Christmas. But as I held those two broken pieces in my hand, I started to think about how this resembles our life in Christ. Because we too are given a lifetime guarantee against our brokenness as Christians. So we have this lifetime guarantee on the shovel, and I thought about trying to see if I could trade it in and get another one, and I thought that there's a good chance that they wouldn't give me a new one just because jumping on the handle might warrant what you might call user abuse and void the contract, the warranty on it. Yeah, they probably wouldn't give me a free one. But yet, this is one that we get with God. God makes these lifetime guarantees with us that you can't experience user abuse. These are these non-conditional agreements between God and humanity because God loves us so much. God has given these lifetime guarantees that God will never leave us nor forsake us. God has given us these lifetime guarantees that He will send His Messiah to guide His people. And through this Messiah that we know as Jesus Christ, God gives us a new lifetime guarantee. A lifetime guarantee that doesn't end at death, but a lifetime guarantee that transcends throughout eternity. A lifetime guarantee that doesn't just start at death, but a lifetime guarantee that begins when we make a decision to follow Jesus Christ. Jesus gave us this guarantee that anyone who believes in Him shall not perish, but will have eternal life. And as I said, I don't believe that eternal life thing starts when we die. Eternal life starts the moment we accept that free gift of salvation. That eternal life, that eternal gift, that lifetime guarantee starts when we make a decision to follow Christ. So I come back to the story that we read in our scripture for this morning. And we find that Mary Magdalene, after she has spoken with the disciples, she goes back to the tomb and she sits there and she cries. She weeps. And there's, I guess, angels inside the tomb, and they say, "Woman, why are you crying?" And then she hears another voice from behind her saying the same thing, "Woman, why are you crying? What's wrong?" And she thinks this is the gardener. She says, "They've taken my Lord, and I don't know where they laid him. If you know where he is, let me know so I can go and give him a proper burial." But then this gardener, this supposed gardener, speaks to her. And she recognizes this voice as her Lord. This very one that she saw crucified, this very one she saw nailed upon the cross, tortured and tormented and abused, is now standing there in the flesh and blood, speaking to her. She has witnessed a miracle. She has witnessed something that we have all witnessed, and that is the resurrected Jesus Christ. Now Mary saw Jesus with her own eyes. And Jesus later would show himself to ten of the disciples. Thomas wasn't there when he revealed himself to the disciples that evening. And they saw Jesus with their own physical eyes. And I believe that each and every one of us here today has seen Jesus in some way. Maybe not with our eyes, but with some other part of our senses. When I was growing up, and say it was Christmas Day, and we all, my two brothers and I, would get presents on Christmas, right? That's normal. I remember when my older brother would get something that I would like to play with, I would say, "Hey, can I see that?" And he'd say, "Here you go. You see with your eyes, not with your hands." And today I say, no, that's wrong. God gave us five senses. And we use all of those senses to see our Lord today. We use our eyes, our nose, our mouth, our ears, our hands to see the Lord. And today I've asked three people to share with us how they have seen the Lord working in their life, how they have seen the Lord working in the lives of other people. So I've asked Darlin, Kristen, and Kathy to share briefly with us stories of how they have witnessed God, how they have seen the Lord. So if Darlin could come forward.
Please say, "We have seen the Lord." We have seen the Lord. This was not supposed to be a difficult assignment, but it was somewhat. Figuring out how to put it into words, how I've seen Jesus. And it wasn't until the play on Thursday night that it occurred to me how I saw Jesus this year. Because Kevin said specifically in the past year, to me at least, I saw Jesus in a Jim Delp, carrying box after box and chair up my stairs at Buckhorn. I saw Jesus in a sign to Anna Catton becoming heroes to my little girls in the Sunday school. I saw Jesus in Iran being completely devoted to seeing people turn to Christ. I've seen Jesus in the ladies of this church taking meals to other people. I've seen Jesus in another brother in Broadway helping me out with a set of tires when I couldn't afford a set of tires from a truck. I've seen Jesus in an unnamed face providing the check for us when we needed to put money. I've seen Jesus right where I should have seen him all this year. And that's in my brothers, my sisters here. It's not around me. That's where I've seen Jesus this year.
We have seen the Lord. It was a difficult assignment when Kevin asked to share today, and he said, "Well, the obvious thing is Maddie being born." And I thought about it, and, you know, Maddie being born has changed our lives definitely this year. You can hear us today. But when Maggie was born. It's interesting because her name is kind of derived from Magdalene, her full name is Madeline. I've always liked the story of Mary Magdalene. But when she was born, the cord was wrapped around her neck. And they whisked her away. I didn't even see her for the first 15 minutes. It's still very difficult to talk about. And we were just, I mean, Mike and I were devastated that we would lose this little baby that we hadn't even seen yet. Sorry, I should think I get this emotional. But, and then 4 days after she was born, we had to take her back into the hospital for dehydration, and they were sticking her with IVs, and it was just so hard to see this little innocent child suffering. But Mike and I are definitely not perfect parents, but thinking about my two children, I think about how God is a perfect parent. We are all God's children. He cares deeply about every one of us. I mean, I think about how much I love my children, and I just, most of us are parents here. Can you imagine how much God loves us? Think about how much you love your kids. And, so like Mike and myself, you know, God doesn't want to lose any of us. He doesn't want to see us suffering. And I just think about how much patience I need for my with my children. And as I said, I am definitely not a perfect parent, and I lose my patience daily, which I don't seem like anymore. But God is a perfect parent, and his patience with us just is unending. I can't imagine. And thinking of us as God's children, it just changes the way that I've looked at other people this year. You know, if we look at each other as God's children and think about how much God loves each and every one of us and how much we're worth to him, it makes you see people differently and see the worth in every one of us. And as brothers and sisters, we really, I felt very called this year that we just need to be there for each other. And as Carolyn was saying, I've seen it here at church. And it's really been a challenge to me to look at other people as children of God. And so that's how I've seen the Lord this year.
We have seen the Lord. You know, I'm really impressed with the way Mary was so excited. I think she raised her voice and talked very excitedly. I think I'm impressed because it's not my tendency to get real excited. If I see somebody that I know, I kind of quietly recognize them and then I say, I just had the neat experience of meeting up with so-and-so, but I don't act excited like I think Mary did. So I tried to think, why was she so excited? And I decided one of the reasons probably is because she had a really deep, relational, unconditional, and accepting kind of love that she felt from Jesus, unlike any other person. And so I looked for that in people's faces. And I think I saw it the other day when I was at the Y. There was a mother, a middle-aged mother, who was working very closely with her teenage son, and he was very obviously limited with some disabilities. He couldn't speak, but with their faces in close proximity, she was communicating love and giving him movement motions and asking him to respond. So there was such a deep love and devotion that was evident in her face that couldn't forget. It was just a memory that I took with me. It was neat. And then I noticed that love and excitement in the faces of our granddaughters, Carrie and Andrea, this week. One meal, Glenn asked at the meal time whether they had a new prayer that they wanted to share with us. Yes, we want to teach you God is great and God is good in a new jazzy version. Well, after at least 3 or 4 times, we still didn't get it. But it was cute, and they were excited. I also look for Jesus in relationships and feeling connected and mutual respect when we care for each other and listen for each other. And I feel like that takes place right here in this church. The others named people and situations, and I just want to echo that, that I feel love and acceptance and respect here, and I'm grateful. I also realize that Jesus is present, and I see him at times when the feelings are not as good and there isn't joy, when I have disappointed him, or when I have misunderstood others, or when I misunderstand others or others misunderstand me. Maybe I speak out of turn, and maybe I'm insensitive, but and I need time to kind of work through that sometimes. I see Jesus then. Recently, when I was swimming at the Y and taking laps, and it's a boring thing, I was just praying for situations and for people, and I remember just kind of saying, well, what do you want me to do about these? And I heard Jesus speaking and saying, just wait and worship. Trust me. And while you're waiting for the resolution, worship me. Some of those experiences happened during this Lent season. I really enjoyed the Lent devotionals that EMU posted on their website, and those devotionals in Rejoice that were meaningful. And also the worship services that we had here at church. Each Sunday we sang, you are all we have. You give us what we need. Our lives are in your hands, O God. Our lives are in your hands. I have seen the Lord.
We have seen the Lord. We have all seen the Lord. Because the Lord is not dead. The Lord is alive. The Lord is with us today. And we don't maybe see the Lord the way that Mary Magdalene and the disciples saw the Lord. But we do see the Lord with our mind's eye, with our hands, with our eyes, with our ears, our tongues. We see the Lord. Perhaps the thing I like the most about my job is that I get to be invited into your lives. To be a part of the important things that are important to you in your life. I was a part of Mike and Kristen's life when they had Madeline, because I visited them there in the hospital and prayed for them with them in the birth of their new child. I've been to the hospital and prayed with people that were ill and sick, and they invited me in during the most vulnerable parts of their lives. And through them, I see the Lord. I see the Lord as we had a baptism right here a few months ago, as we accepted a new member into this church. I saw the Lord a week ago as I witnessed two young people joining their lives together in holy matrimony, committing to love one another and to love the Lord the rest of their lives in a wedding ceremony. I've witnessed the Lord, I've seen the Lord as we stood beside the graveside and sung together, prayed together, and said goodbye to a loved one. We have seen the Lord because the Lord is alive and well today. So what do we do with this information? Do we just talk about it within these four walls? Do we keep it to ourselves? No. We must do what Mary Magdalene did. We must run to other people and tell them, we have seen the Lord. We must show them the way that we have come to experience God through our lives and through the lives of other people. Because they too need to know that God is not a God that is dead, that is in a tomb somewhere. But we serve and worship a God who lives among us. I begin today by saying about these guarantees that we hear on the radio. And I said, when I see it, I'll believe it. Well, I've seen the Lord, and so have you. And I believe that He is alive and well today, and that He is among us. Easter is a guarantee. The resurrection is a guarantee. The resurrection is a guarantee that death is not the end of all things. So Easter is a guarantee that neither life nor death, nor angels nor demons, or things present or things to come will separate us from the love of God that we have in Christ Jesus. Easter is a guarantee that those who know Christ will not die but will have eternal life. Easter is a guarantee for all those who know Jesus Christ is Lord. Because Jesus rose on the third day. And that's a guarantee that we can count on. Because we have seen it and we believe it. So let's pray. Gracious and loving God in heaven, we give you thanks because you are God. And you have done so much for us, Lord, and we give you thanks for that. And today on this Easter Monday, we remember the sacrifice that you made by coming to the earth in human flesh, living the perfect life and dying for our sins. And today on this Resurrection Sunday, Lord, we realize we do have a guarantee of many things, including eternal life. Eternal life that doesn't start simply when we die, but eternal life that began the moment we said, I love you, Lord, and will follow you. Help us, Lord, to share that good news with everyone we come in contact with. Help us, Lord, to share that because you are not dead in a tomb, because the Lord lives today. We have seen the Lord. Amen.